to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift to a far high.
Lord, I lift to a far high.
Lord, I lift to a far high.
Greet one another this morning.
Last week, I believe that Linda read some things about Nepal to you guys, and I got an email that was very encouraging to me about Nepal, and I wanted to mention it to you. You know, sometimes these things happen, and they're far away, and we kind of feel removed from them. But I got a video in the mail, or got a video that I thought was really, really neat. And something that totally impresses me about the Nazarene Church is they're always the first people on the ground. Anywhere there's a disaster, they're always the first people there. And that, I think, is because of the giving of the Nazarene Church. But here's something that I got this week. Families in Peru are slowly beginning to piece their lives back together following the devastating earthquake that rocked Nepal on April 25th. But miles to the east, people are still without the basics to sustain life. We just boil water and take that water. That's all we've had since the earthquake, said a woman in the small mountain community of Tindhara, about 60 miles east of Kathmandu. These were the words spoken to the Nazarene disaster team who arrived to deliver 300 sacks of rice, 50-pound sacks with enough food to feed a family for a month. Tindhara is a community where 34 neighbors died and every family's house was destroyed, along with the farming tools and any food they'd stored at home. And it's a place where no one has come to deliver food since the earthquake struck. This is until the team made of Nazarene Church leaders, volunteers, and Nazarene Compassionate Ministries staff showed up. In Tindhara, more than 1,200 people now have enough food to eat for a month, thanks to the response of the Church of the Nazarene in Nepal. And I talked to Sue about this, but any time that you guys want to give to Compassionate Ministries, you can write that in your memo, and at the end of the month, that money will always go to Compassionate Ministries. And if any of you still want to give for this, feel free to do that. Something else, too, that I forgot to mention. Mary said that all the missionary books are in the back now, the new ones for this year. But what I'd like for you to watch right now is a video of the Nazarene Church coming into this community and giving them food. That's what's coming on next.
Thank you.
thank you so much for your giving in all areas of the church, and the things that we're able to do are because of the way that God blesses you, and then you obey as He prompts you to give to these various areas. And so if our ushers will come this morning, we'll receive our morning of tithes and offerings. Pray for Pastor Don and Ruth. They are away this weekend at one of the graduations of one of their grandchildren, and so they are celebrating with family. And we pray that God will watch over them, bring them safely back to us. And we know that a lot of you are having those kind of events and times of travel through the month of May. That's just always part of this time of year. And so we're glad that you're all with us today. And we look forward to honoring God as He has indeed blessed us. Brother Larry, if you would, come and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your guidance in our lives. And we're reminded once again that when you think there's nothing going on, He's got you by the hand and taking you where you're needed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today is a unique day, and it's far bigger than we think, because there are many different kinds of mothers, and all are being honored today. For the mother who's chosen to stay at home while her children are little, may your patience be great and your influence even greater. For the single mom who never planned on doing this alone, may you be consistently strengthened by your Heavenly Father, and may you hear His voice singing over you. For the mother who strives to balance work outside the home with love inside the home, may you be given energy, validation, and hope as you make the leap from one world to another every day. For moms who had poor mothers themselves, but who now refuse to let that pattern repeat itself, may the godly legacy you've started be carried on for generations to come. For mothers with grown adult children, may today be filled with laughter and joy, and may you experience deep satisfaction and fulfillment. For women who have no biological children of their own, but who mother younger women as mentors, may you understand your role as a calling from God and as a transformation of their hearts. Today is a unique day, so for all the mothers we mentioned, and even those we didn't, be blessed, be honored, be filled with joy. You are making the world a better place, because you're filling it with a love that only a mom can give.
Let your children, let your moms, let everybody hear your praises as we sing this song.
As we walk before the cross, glory fill the whole earth. As the water o'er the sea, from the mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to
Savior, all that we want.
You believe that this morning? Man, he is worthy of our praise. He is a great God. I'm almost of the frame of mind. You know, everybody recognizes the national anthem. When somebody says a pledge to the flag or they sing the national anthem, people immediately know to rise to their feet in honor of what that represents. And it just almost breaks my heart that we can sing "How Great Is Our God and How Great Thou Art" and just not get too worked up. I'm sorry. That just doesn't seem right to me. So maybe we could just sing that "How Great Thou Art" one more time, and maybe it'll catch on and we'll understand the significance of that particular anthem and that hymn to our Christian community. And then hopefully we can make an appropriate response as we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. Greatest thing there is? Isn't he worthy of our praise? Shouldn't there be something that wells up within us and says, "Holy, holy, holy, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy." I can't help but think about that old country euphemism that says, "If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet." We need more than a little smoke. We need some blaze. Every once in a while, Remy likes to roast a marshmallow in the little fire pit we have on the back deck. And, you know, the way it's been lately, about every time that happens, why it's been, there's been a rain for 2 or 3 days, and I try to get some wood in there, and it doesn't want to light very good. It's soaked up with water. We're going to be soaked up with something. Let's get soaked up with the Holy Spirit. Let the power of God fall on us. How many of you long to see a Holy Ghost revival? How many of you would get mad if somebody decided they just needed to break loose and go to the altar and pray? How many of you get upset if God would move in such a way that people would begin to praise Him and just break out in spontaneous glorification of God? Would that offend you? It just happens through us. We're all the same. We just have to, when we sense that, we need to move on it. Always appropriate to honor God. Always. Well, as we pray this morning, we want to pray for our mothers. And so we're going to ask you this morning. We have a gift for you, but we're going to give it to you as you leave the building. We have some flowers that you can take home with you. A couple of gentlemen who will be distributing those to you as you go out of the building this morning. I'll not necessarily ask you to come all the way forward this morning, but could I ask you mothers today just to kind of step out into the aisles there where you are? Would you just step into the aisles and let us recognize you and honor you this day? First and foremost, we honor God. It's His day first. But I think God gave us mothers so that we could understand a little bit more about how much He loves folks. His love is compared to a mother's love, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we indeed are thankful today for the mothers that are here. We honor you, we appreciate you, and we are thankful for this day in which we can lavish on you a little bit of our appreciation. And thank you so much, Janet, for the Mother's Day video. Janet said, "Hey, I got a Mother's Day video to show over offering." And I just want you to know that I had written notes to myself to remember, because I grew up in some ways, it wasn't a perfect life, but I grew up in about as good a life as you can. My parents loved me. My parents were together. We went to church together, you know. But I realized, somebody challenged me a long time ago, a single person challenged me one time when I was talking about all my family and stuff. And it made me to realize everybody has not always had, nor do they have now, some of the things that I have enjoyed in life. And sometimes Mother's Day, isn't a celebration of everything was hunky-dory and I just had a wonderful upbringing. And, you know, sometimes there are estranged relationships between mothers and children. Sometimes there are things that happen. The video referenced single mothers, and it represented those that have not been able to have biological children. And I can remember we've had some folks in our congregations that have gone through some of those struggles. And I'm sure that has to be a painful time. And as a man, I don't totally understand that. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I'm trying to get a little wiser as I get older. And I know everything isn't perfect for everybody. But here's what I can tell you. There is one in heaven who is perfect. And He loves you no matter who you are or what your history has been or what your situation has been. And that great love is always available to you at all times. And indeed, He can help you that if you haven't had maybe the perfect situation, that you can be the one who breaks the cycle and you can present to your family and to your children and to your neighbors and friends, you can present that godly woman that indeed will make it different for those in the future. And so I hope that you'll embrace that this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. You're worthy of our praise, and we want to give it to you this morning. And so we're going to pray for you and ask God's blessing over you. I want to just a couple other things. We want to remember Gerald and Iris have been going through some testing and things. We just want to remember them in our prayers as they're resolving some health issues. We want to pray for Brother Ed Gill this morning. His brother passed away Friday night. And so he is grieving, and the way the weather and the timing of the funeral have happened, they are not going to get to go. And so just pray for Brother Ed as he is grieving. He did tell me this morning that indeed he knows his brother is in heaven, and that was a comfort to him. And so pray for that family as they have had that loss. Continue to pray for these that are on our prayer list in our bulletin. I do want to tell you that out on the bulletin board, some of you have been asking, out on the bulletin board in the upper right-hand corner, Lyle Browberger's new address is posted there. He did arrive safely. He's texted some of us and talked to some of us, and he's pretty excited. And so you pray that this will be a really good thing for Lyle. God wants every one of us to succeed at life. And we come from different environments and situations, and we're not all blessed with the same opportunities. But God can overcome, and God can help us, and pray that God indeed will bless each of us today. Bless these mothers. We want to pray together. We're going to sing, and then we're going to pray together this morning.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art
say one other thing this morning before we pray together. We are thankful for every one of you who are here. But I want to say just a word of welcome to Brother Charlie Mitchell in our service this morning. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. Was raised up in our Union City Church when it existed. And right now is fighting a battle with cancer. And so we want to remember Charlie in our prayers this morning. Glad to have you with us in service this morning, Charlie. God bless you. And we have other visitors. We welcome you. We're glad you're with us this morning. Make yourselves at home. Let's indeed ask God to bless these mothers and these other situations that are on our hearts and minds this day. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, because that's what you told us to do, to pray these things in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that that means to pray as Jesus would. We know that it means to pray as Jesus understands and can pray and intercedes for us in ways we don't even know how to pray. And so, Father, we present to you our praise and our supplications, requests, thanksgiving. We love you. We're here on purpose today. We came to church because we want to. We're thankful for these brothers and sisters in Christ that make up our family. Thank you for the great love that you have for us. And we thank you that you imparted that love somehow in kind of a special, different kind of way to people we call mothers. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of having been raised in a home with a godly mother. Thank you for the things that were taught to us, the things that were exemplified, the things that to this day, my mother is still here and I'm thankful for that. That the encouragement that she gives and the prayers that she lifts up, Father, I thank you for all those things. And I pray your blessing upon every mother in our congregation today. I pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, I pray that even before this prayer is over, that if someone is here today and their mother is present in this room, I just they have my permission, Lord, just to go from where they are. And if they're not near their mom, just to go to their mom and say, I love you and thank you for everything you've done. Lord, we want to appreciate them this day. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Give them wisdom and strength and courage. Some of them are in the beginning days of motherhood. Give them all the things they need to know, Lord, to raise their child and their children in the way they would want to. And then, Lord, some of are in the latter days of their life, and life is a challenge physically and emotionally and mentally sometimes. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them and thank you for the life that they've lived and the legacy that they indeed have left behind. Lord, we pray where there are estranged relationships today, Lord, we pray that opportunity for healing and restoration will come to every one of those mothers who's struggling with that issue today in their lives. Lord, for those who don't have the opportunity to speak to their mother anymore because their mother has gone on, we pray, Father, that you would just help them to have precious memories today and to treasure them. Lord, if there's someone here today who somehow mom passed on and things were left undone, Lord, I pray that you would just, in the grace and the mercy of a loving Heavenly Father, help them just to forgive themselves and to let things go, not be carrying that around, not living a life of guilt, but indeed to be set free and delivered and just to experience the freedom that they need to and that you want them to this morning. Lord, we pray for other situations that are ongoing. We pray for Charles, this cancer this morning, that you deliver him. We thank you, Father, for the guests that are here today, that they would feel at home. We pray for these situations that are listed within our bulletin, that you indeed would be with them. Be with Pastor Don and Ruth today as they celebrate the graduation of a grandchild. And Lord, you know, we all like those special family occasions. We visited a couple of graduation receptions yesterday. It's always great to have family around us. And sometimes it's our blood family. Sometimes it's our church family. Sometimes it's our community family. Lord, it just can be a lot of things. You've given us many wonderful relationships in this life, and we thank you for them. But our friendship with you, our relationship with you, to know that we have been able to have our sins forgiven, that we've been able to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we've been allowed to have your living word in our lives to give us guidance, Father. We thank you for all those blessings and privileges that you give us today. And once again, we just pray a very special blessing upon these mothers in all that they endeavor to do. May you reward them. And may they indeed receive the praises of their husbands and children and those that are present this day. And may they get phone calls and cards and all those things just to remind them that even though we don't say something every day, it doesn't mean that we don't know what we owe to them and how much we appreciate them. And for all this, Lord, we'll be forever grateful to you. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. This is a song that the Gaithers wrote and recorded many, many years ago, and it's just always meant a lot to me, and on a particular on a day like today, I think it speaks to our hearts and does to mine. I hope it'll speak to yours. How can we tell you the things we must tell you, the things that we want you to know, all about living and reasons for giving, things that will help you to grow. We've watched your diet, taught you to be quiet in places of worship and school. We've kept you well groomed with a nice tidy room, and we've mentioned the golden rule. But along the way, did your heart hear us say, don't have to earn our love? Not a thing you could do could make us stop loving you. Just the joy that you've brought is enough. There isn't a thing that the future might bring that could take back the gift that you are. You are a treasure that never could measure. Just some things we must tell our children. I'm sure that we told you to mind all your manners and get to appointments on time. Little one, how many times have we told you to hang up your clothes, to finish the homework assigned? You've learned to care for your teeth and your hair. You make your own bed every day. Your mom and I are so proud of your grades. And your lunch money's paid. And you won your first game yesterday. But did we make it clear? Were you able to hear as you skipped through the house and our lives that God has a plan that you must understand, no matter how much you arrive? Never stop dreaming, keep working and singing. Remember just whose child you are. So stand tall and walk straight. Be home before 8. Just some things I must tell the children. Oh, and there's just one more thing, whatever you do. Remember we love you. Just some things I must tell my children. There are indeed many things that we tell our children, and Janet was so kind to find a very special mom-isms that we saw at the beginning of the announcement time today. And I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, just the first portion of the verse. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. The thing that's happening here is God knows that He is invisible. But He knows that His people understand about a mother's love. And He recorded this passage of Scripture to say, I want you to understand that as much and more than your mother loved you and loves you, I love you. And as your mother has provided for your needs and taken care of you, I will do that same thing. And so if you want to have an understanding of who I am as God, then indeed think about what you know about your mom. And if you've had the privilege of having a godly mother who indeed loved unconditionally and provided all of that support and encouragement, then you have an idea of how your Heavenly Father wants you to know that He loves you and wants to relate to you. Now, our moms did not always say it in just that way. Everything that our mom said to us was not always comforting. They had other things that they said to us. And before we get into the meat of this message, I just thought it would be fun. And indeed, I didn't realize that Janet was going to have some of those things posted. But indeed, there are some things that are in agreement with that, some additional things. But I have a little extra twist for you this morning, ladies, as we begin. For I'm going to read to you the things your mom said to you, and then I'm going to give you what she really meant. Number one, don't make me come over there. Which really meant, I really don't want to get up or stop what I'm doing to come over there. Because I said so. Or, I really can't think of another reason. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I'm hoping that you won't come up with anything to say for at least 30 seconds or more. Stop that this instant. If you stop now, before I have to get up and come over there, we can forget this thing ever happened. Don't make me turn this car around. I am totally bluffing. If we turn around now, we'll be going home without any groceries, diapers, or food. We need to get this car en route to its destination, so please just fall for my bluff and I'll give you a cookie at the grocery store. Don't forget to say please and thank you. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do if you don't say these things, so just please say them. You will look polite and I'll look like a good mom and we'll all win. Eat your veggies and you'll grow up to be big and strong. I really don't want to have to admit to your pediatrician that I can't get you to eat healthy foods, but I also don't want to have to lie. So please just eat a couple of bites. I'm begging you, and then I'll give you a cookie. You are just fine. You are okay, right? Go run around and play, jump off the couch, or refuse to eat your veggies so I know that you're acting normal. I am the parent and you are the kid. I'm aware that this is super condescending and that you already know who's around here, but I'm actually just giving myself a pep talk out loud. I'm not really even talking to you. Let's try not to eat off the floor. I really don't care if you eat off of the floor. Just don't tell anyone that I let you. I would never have gotten away with that when I was your age. Now, I don't really actually remember being your age, but it sounds legit anyway. I am going to count to three, and then you better be in your bed. I literally have no energy left. It's the end of the day, and I just want us all to go to bed. I'm going to count to three very slowly and hope it works, because after that, I got nothing. Good night. Stay in bed. Please, please, please stay in bed. I am so tired tonight that I may actually pretend to think you're in bed if you get up and play with toys. But please just close your eyes and go to sleep. Please. I love you. I love you more than you can know. And I really hope that I'm doing okay at this mom thing. And so we understand some of those sayings. And we indeed know that there's usually a deeper meaning behind the things that are spoken to us. This morning, as I share with you on this special Mother's Day message, I want to use the acronym MOM, or the acrostic MOM. And I want to talk to you just a few moments. Sometimes the best way to describe what something is to talk about what it is not. And I want to share with you some things based on those letters, M-O-M, that were not tolerated by my mother. And so this morning you saw the picture come up. That was indeed my mother that was on the first slide. And I'm thankful for her today. It would be great to be with her. I was with her last night, but I know where she's at right now. She's in her own church, listening to her own pastor, serving God, either in the nursery or being in the service there. And that's the way I was raised, three times a week at the church, and all revival meetings and special things. And I remember as a kid growing up on Thursday afternoon, WMU meetings where and back in those days, they had WMU all day long. Those women would get together about 8 or 9 in the morning at this little Baptist church, and they would quilt and study missions, and then we would break for lunch and eat a brown paper bag lunch, and they would go back to quilting more until about 3 in the afternoon. And I can remember many afternoon as a kid growing up being in that setting during the summertime when I wasn't in school, and indeed I remember, you know, even a little bit younger, I think, those. But my mom, if the doors of the church were open, my mom was there. My dad my dad always went on Sunday morning. He didn't go on Sunday evening or Wednesday night. And for the longest time, I thought that was due to James Drury and Lauren Green. Or you might better understand the Virginian and Bonanza. Come to find out later, my dad's mom was a very godly woman. I never met her. She passed away before I was born. She walked 9 kids through the woods between 2 and 3 miles to church on Sunday. And they didn't go on Sunday night or Wednesday night because she wouldn't walk the kids through the woods in the dark. And so my dad grew up, the routine was Sunday morning was regular and Sunday night was not what they did because of all that was involved. My dad's dad passed away when he was 2. So his mom, my grandma, raised those kids pretty much by herself. And so that was kind of the norm. But yeah, I grew up going 3 times a week. My dad would not let me stay home. It was the craziest thing. Because the one thing my dad did, even though he didn't go himself on Sunday night and Wednesday night, he made sure the rest of us did. Mom was going and we were all going with her. And if you stayed home, you wouldn't be enjoying the Virginian or Bonanza either one. So anyway, we all went. It was a great thing. But here are some things this morning that I want to share with you that I believe my mom impressed upon me because she felt like that's what God thought and what God said in His Word. The first thing is this. It was totally unacceptable and my mom would never endorse mediocrity. I remember always hearing these words, do your best, look your best, give your best. It was always your best. Now, there was never an overinflated expectation that you should do more than you were capable of, but there was always the understanding you should not give less than your best effort. Nothing was going to be acceptable at my house if you weren't trying, if you wouldn't put forth some effort. It was not going to be for somebody else to do for you. And I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture that starts out with those very words in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. My mom would not tolerate mediocrity. And I remember in later years, probably about 1992, I came across a book by Charles Swindoll called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. It's based on largely on eagles and things about the eagle. And so I want to share with you some things this morning that that are interesting facts indeed from eagles that kind of set a precedent for us in trying to be as excellent as we can be in our lives. Did you know that eagles have long been a symbol of courage and strength, and will often attack birds much larger themselves? And I can't think of too many birds that are larger than them, unless it's like a pterodactyl coming back from the past or something. Eagles are huge. But indeed, they will attack birds larger than themselves. Although they are not the largest bird, they are indeed one of the strongest birds, as those comparisons go. I don't know how they do that, if they lift weights or how they compare those. But indeed, eagles have great strength. They build their nests at a higher level than other birds. And this is one that indeed always impressed me. Eagles fly at higher altitudes than other birds. And this is a known fact that when there are storms on the earth, and like we're supposed to have some this afternoon and this evening, when there are storms on the earth, the same winds that drive other birds to their nests or in, eagles use those winds and they fly above the storm. Now, if you've ever flown in an airplane, you kind of get an understanding of that, because if you've ever flown on a cloudy day and you break through the cloud cover, the sun is always shining. If you get above the clouds, the sun is always shining. And eagles take the things that wipe out most things below them, and they use them as a lift aerodynamically to help them fly above all the storms of life. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? If we could learn to fly above the storms, the very storms that destroy things, if we would use them as things that lift us to a higher understanding and a greater altitude in the way that we live our lives. Here's something maybe you didn't know. Eagles mate for life. One eagle with one other eagle of the opposite gender for a lifetime. Just thought I'd throw that in. Eagles have a tremendous growth rate. Do you know that an eagle's wingspan changes from 3 inches to 3 feet in 3 months? Wouldn't it be great if all Christians in the church grew at that rate? That's all I'm going to say. Eagles have exceptional vision. They can see an object the size of a dime in 6 inches of grass from 600 feet of altitude and spot a 3-inch fish jump in a lake 5 miles away if they have clear, open line of sight. That's how great their vision is. And indeed, I know that we as human beings could learn if we had greater vision. You know, without a vision, the people perish. And so we want to indeed learn from those things that are part of God's creation. We want to follow after some of the patterns or traits of those things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And, I can't say that I've always practiced everything my mom said to me about doing my best. I'm pretty sure there were times when I gave less than my best effort. I can't tell you that I'm proud of any of those times. I can't tell you that I feel good about trying to shortchange employers or people or whatever by trying to take the shortcut or the easy way out or not giving my best. But I can tell you that when I genuinely gave my best effort, well, it might not have been as good as somebody else's, or it might not have produced the results that I wanted, that I can pillow my head in peace at night every day that I've done the best I could. And I can feel good from a standpoint of self-worth. And here's the bottom line. Your best, and this is something some people don't ever learn. So I want you to get this, and I want you to learn. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Your best is good enough for God, no matter how it compares to any other human. God does not compare you to other people. But God knows everything about us, and He knows if we're doing our best or if we're letting off on the gas pedal. So that brings us to the point of not being a slacker. Don't make somebody else do your job. That's the kind of, my mom said, be responsible for your actions, you know. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, we find these words. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Don't settle for mediocrity. There's an opening little poem in this book. I want to share it with you. It's written by a man by the name of James Russell Lowell. This is many years ago. You can tell by the way the English is. But listen closely. Life is a leaf of paper white, whereon each one of us may write his word or two, and then comes night. Greatly begin, though thou have time, but for a line be that sublime. And if you don't understand all the rest of it, get this last line. Not failure, but low aim is crime. Not failure, but low aim is crime. We want to aim at the correct target. We want to give our best effort. Mediocrity is not acceptable. The other thing that my mom would never allow was an obsession with self. And we all know that self-centeredness is the essence of sin. And so what my mom taught me was that was not acceptable behavior. That I was not to be arrogant or conceited. There's a difference between being confident and arrogant, although some people don't know the difference. And some people are intimidated by confidence and term it as arrogance. But a lack of self-centeredness does not mean that we don't have value. If I can impress something upon you that I think a lot of people never get, humility is not belittling. Humility is not saying, I can't do that, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough. Or that is not it. God wants you to esteem yourself in the same way that He esteems you. In other words, the value you place on yourself should be the value that God places on you. Listen to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The whole concept here is that if God values His creation, of all those things He created, He values you the most. That's why He gave you dominion over every other thing in creation. You matter to God. You are important to God. And God wants you to value yourself, but He also wants us to understand how to horizontally fit relationships together and to understand that we should esteem others equal to, at a minimum, the way we value ourselves. We are never to see ourselves as more important to God or anybody else than other people. There is simply an equality that God wants us to understand. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, you're going to find these words. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. And listen to these next three verses as God begins to try to put into perspective how we're supposed to feel about those people indeed that are around us. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. He talks about how we are to treat other people. In every case, we are to treat them as we would want to be treated ourselves if we were in that same situation. It's equality. It's not belittling ourselves, it's not devaluing ourselves, but it's not over-evaluating ourselves either. It is putting ourselves in the place of an equal plane and understanding that God loves everyone the same. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read these words, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And I think the reason that God stated it the way he did is because he goes on in one passage in Ephesians, if you'll remember the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he says, a man will take care of his own body. There's within us a sense of survival. And we tend to take care of ourselves. And so what he's saying is, give equal value to other people. Add value to their lives. How many of you remember hearing this phrase, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care"? How many times have you said that to somebody else? What you know is of value, but before you get to express that to other people, they've got to have an idea that you value them in some way. That's what gives you the credibility to offer the information or education that you have to other people. So my mom would never allow us to be obsessed with ourselves. I think a phrase that probably has come along a little later as I moved away from home, but I hear it quite often and it's really true, is just get over yourself. If you really want to make it in this life, appreciate others. Have respect for others. Have an awareness of the needs of others. Respond to those needs. Show care and concern. And people are all of a sudden going to go, "Hey, there's something different about you. What is that?" And then you have the opportunity to witness for Christ. You have the opportunity to offer them someone who can help them on a daily basis themselves. Mom would never tolerate mediocrity, and she would not tolerate an obsession with ourselves. And I'll tell you another thing my mom would not tolerate. And that was misconduct. Misconduct is intentional wrongdoing or a disregard for the rules. Listen to these verses of Scripture in James chapter 4 and verse 17. "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Pretty clear. And then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, "Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness." Just this past week, and I'm not sure exactly how long, I forgot to check the copyright on this, but just this past week, I heard a song, and I kind of liked it. I don't know if you'll like it or not, but it certainly had some things that I could identify with. It's a song that was released by a couple in country music, written by them, and it's entitled "A Bible and a Belt." It goes something like this: "They were both made of leather, both black and frayed and worn. I was brought up to respect them since the day that I was born. One came here from England, it's been handed down for years. The other one was ordered from a catalog at Sears. When my mama read to me, I was well into my teens, and I thought all the other one was for to hold up my daddy's jeans. Till I told a lie and learned it had another purpose too. And behind the shed, my daddy said, 'This will hurt me more than you.' 'Cause one had my daddy's name on it. The other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other hurt like you know what. But those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a belt. I remember when I was 12, I stole a dime store comic book, and how Mama read what the Scripture said to take back what I took. When I refused, my daddy took my arm and said, 'Come on.' I needed more, he knew, than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes it made me cry. Sometimes it made me frightened mad. I wished I'd been raised without them like some other children had. But now I'm grown with kids of my own, and I know just how they felt. And though it seems to me what the world still needs is a Bible and a belt. 'Cause one had my daddy's name on it, and the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other hurt like you know what. But those were in the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a belt. Well, you know, you pull some of that stuff out nowadays and you can't even, you get hit for child abuse with your own children. You know, on one hand, you're supposed to be responsible for the raising. On the other hand, only if you do it the way the government wants you to. It's a weird world we live in now. And I'm not liking the end result. The product that's being produced, I don't like. We have generations that are coming up without an understanding of God. We have kids growing up that don't know anything about the Bible. You know, they tell us now that there are no absolutes. And that if we think there are absolutes, that we are intolerant and haters. I don't remember too many times that my dad used a belt on me. Because the few times he did, I remember really well. And I didn't want any more. My mom would not put up with misconduct. Life, folks, is all about choices. It doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. Life is all about choices. If you go into the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, you'll find out that it talks of Joshua saying to his people, here's what all's God done for you. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Life is full of choices. Everything you do every day is about a choice. And how you make those choices determines the outcome of your life. But you know, there's a few other things on that last M that I have to touch base with. Because not only would my mom not tolerate misconduct, but my mom would not put up with moodiness. You know, my mom would tell us to get our attitude right, or she would get it right for us. She called it an attitude adjustment. But my mom would not put up with people being moody all the time. You know, she just knew that you could make choices in life and live better than that. My mom would not put up with a mad temperament. My mom liked that commercial. Said, don't get sad or get mad, get glad, you know. And she'd read stuff out of the Bible and tell you how to get glad. But what I remember also is my mom instilled within me that my life matters and that I could make a difference if I would. And I have no idea. You know, I've been to a lot of funerals lately. And I have a really morbid mind, I guess. But when I go to funerals, I often sit and wonder, what will people say about me when my time comes? You know, as I listen to people talk about the people that are in those caskets, I wonder about that. What when I die, what are people going to say? Will it be good things? Or will they be glad I'm out of the picture? Or what will happen? Will I have made a difference? Will anybody come and remember anything? Will all those kids who played in my driveway remember that we cared about them? The ones who played with my kids but knew that we loved them too? You know, I think about the things that God has allowed me to be a part of in my life. And obviously as a pastor, we have kids. I came in this church yesterday and there was a graduation reception going on. And Cara ran up to me like this. You want to make your preacher's day? Now, for some of you, that might not work out too well. But you know, when the kids come to you and want to love on you, man, that makes me feel good. This morning, I was in my office, and Avery and Autumn came in to share with me about what they did on their day yesterday. Gymnastics and garage sale, and they were telling me all things. They even bought a bird. I got to see the green bird that was bought at the garage sale. But that's big stuff. That's what's important to them. I want them, when they come talk to me, I want to take time to stop, because I want them to know their Heavenly Father loves them and cares about them, and every little thing is important. And if I'm going to represent God, I got to make it important too.
My mom told me that people matter. And my life can matter. I can make a difference in the world. It's why I've chosen to sponsor Fellowship of Christian Athlete Organization. It's why I've gone down to school gyms early in the morning and participated with school classes before the insurance company wouldn't let me do it anymore when I was in McDonald County. It's why for 17 years I coached youth leagues all the time that my kids were growing up to get to junior high school when they wouldn't let me coach them anymore. It's why I've refereed ball games. It's why I've done all the things I've done, because somewhere down the line I want to walk back into a Walmart or a grocery store or someplace in life that really matters and have one of those kids say, "I remember you." But more than that, I want to be able to say to them, I was there because God cares about you. I care about you because God cares about you. You're in the Sunday school classroom because God loves those kids and He loves those adults. And you're leading missionary societies and Sunday schools because God cares about those people. And everything that you volunteer for is because God cares about the people that are going to be impacted by those ministries and those events. Life is bigger than us. That's what my mama taught me. I want to close with one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Brett, there should be a slide with a picture on it. Is it there? That's the only picture we've got? Okay, the other picture didn't make it. There's supposed to be a picture of my Grandma Ruby and my mom. My Grandma Ruby's in a wheelchair. My mom was standing right behind her. And evidently, somehow, that didn't get translated through in all the stuff that was going on. There it is. That was supposed to be on the last slide. But at any rate, we've had an interesting week, and so... sometimes my directions aren't real understandable. So I appreciate all that Sue does. She does a super job and helps me with all of this stuff every week. And I appreciate her while she's doing the grandma and mom things as well as taking care of the church and me. So this verse just really speaks to me. And you see the picture and you'll understand. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. One of the most precious memories I have in my life was before my grandmother went in the nursing home. She was in that wheelchair, sitting in her own house in Fordland, Missouri, and I went down one afternoon just to visit her. I was pastoring the church here. I was kind of down, and I walked into her house, and we visited for a while, and I got ready to leave, and I said, "Grandma, will you please pray for me?" She said, "You just get right down here." And I bent over and laid my head in her lap, and she prayed over me before I left her house that day. I can't tell you the number of times that I know that my mother has prayed for me. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I want to have the kind of faith that's praying for other people, that's trying to do my best. I don't want to accept mediocrity. I don't want to put up with being self-obsessed. And I don't want to have misconduct or moodiness or temperamental things. And I don't want to get to the point of thinking my life is meaningless. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 8, after all the research that was done, Solomon, we think, is the guy that wrote the book. And at that stage, he says, "Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless." Well, that is not what my mama told me. Your life can have meaning. Your life can matter because you make others matter to you. Just a few things my mama said. Keep the faith. Don't give up the ship. Hang in there. You know, God will take care of you. My mom, on her best day, was 5'5". Now she's 4'11".
When my brother got sick, Janet will remember this, she was around the college campus at that point in time. When my brother got sick and he was in Olathe Community Hospital, and they thought he had the flu and he had viral encephalitis, which is sleeping sickness, and they let him sleep for 5 days and his brain was frying and he went into convulsions. My little 5 foot mother got a hold of a doctor one day and she said, he is not staying in this hospital any longer. You will take him and you will move him to KU Med Center right now, right here, tonight. I just heard about this. I was not there. I didn't see it. I couldn't even believe it because I couldn't imagine my little mama doing anything like that. Well, when my brother's life was on the line, the mama lion came out. And they put him in an ambulance and they transferred him to KU Med Center. In 24 hours, he was diagnosed. As a result of the 5 days, he is the way he is now. And I'm now my brother's legal guard. But I'm thankful for a mama who was strong and godly and taught me important things. And that I can live by faith and keep that faith and share that faith. And I pray, even though I'm not a mother, I know my wife who is, and I know what she teaches her kids, and I pray that that same faith will live on in them and they'll pass it on to their children. We can make a difference because of the God who loves us and lives in us. Mom, you matter. You're valuable. You probably totally underestimate your worth and the impact that you have and the power that you have, because God gave that into your life because He said, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And God instilled some of Himself in you so we'd all know what He looks like. Will you bow your heads with me? And can I just say to you, God likes us to come home just like our mamas do. And if you're here this morning and you've drifted or you're away from God or something's not the way it ought to be, can I just tell you that God would like you to come home? He wants to love on you. He wants to hug you. He wants to let you crawl up in His lap. He wants to hear about what's going on in your life. Because God's an awful lot like our mamas. Actually, our mamas are a lot like God. God was here first. But it's how we understand. So, Mama, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. Pray with me. Father, we want to be in right relationship to you. We thank you for mothers that you gave to us that are an example of your love, your unconditional acceptance. And yet, Lord, just like you're a God of wrath, our moms could have some wrath sometimes. And we didn't want to get under Mama's wrath. And Lord, we don't want to be under your wrath. So help us to live in your love. Help us to just look within our hearts today and say, is everything the way it ought to be between home and heaven? It's really the way that you want us to be. There's one here this morning while we're seated, heads bowed, eyes closed. If there's someone here this morning that would just need a time and place of prayer, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Would you just stand where you're at and just say, you know, I need to get a little closer to God. I need to give God a little more space in my life, or whatever the case might be. I just want things to be up to date and current. Would you just stand where you are? Stand wherever you are. I want to pray for you this morning before we go. We'll not be back tonight. We want you to spend the day communicating, hopefully, with your families, your mothers. Anybody like that this morning? We want to pray. Father, there's some folks here that are just saying, I need the Lord's help. We all need your help. But Lord, there's some folks standing this morning just saying, I need God's touch in my life. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you indeed will wrap your arms of love around these folks. Bring them into home. Love on them, Lord. And if anything in their life is not as it should be, let them just confess that to you, that you might forgive them, extend your grace and mercy to them, that you can empower them with your Holy Spirit, that, Father, indeed, that you will speak to their hearts and give them the confidence that you are still their God, that you love them, and you want to be in a relationship with them. And, Lord, we pray that you just continue to give them the strength that they need this day to live out life in a relationship with you. Fill them to overflowing with your love. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated. We have the opportunity.